Hey, everybody, welcome. And thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach. I'm here with Laura. Well, first things first, we have an update in the Marriage Therapy Radio Fantasy Football League. Amanda and the Connecticut Blue Eyes Mom team has defeated the sound couple. Nick and Sasha have lost their first game. So we promised cookies to anyone who beats them first. I'm happy to make good on that promise. So Amanda, let us know how to reach you. We'll send cookies your way. Congratulations again to Connecticut Blue Eyes Mom. Speaking of moms, today we're talking to Beth Goss. Beth is a parent-child educator. She's been working with young families for a very long time. Really talking about the transition to bringing baby home. Maybe there was two of us, now there's three. Maybe there's four, maybe there's five. There are a lot of really interesting insights, especially for me. There's one around the idea of what is unique about the primary parent and how they get to learn most of their parenting while nobody's looking. I think that's pretty fantastic. Really kind of opened my eyes to a couple things. Also, whether or not you're bringing a baby home, there's lots in here about transitions in general, which I think are important, whether it's transition to a marriage or maybe even empty nesting. This is a very cool conversation. Stick around. I was meditating.
What?
Yeah. I started meditating in November. Well, again, I started meditating again. So I was, I squeezed it in. I hurried up and meditated before we started the podcast.
Yeah. Way to be present.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. You're coming with a different type of energy. You're a little more mellow yellow.
Well, here's the other thing that happened. Mary officially now is driving herself to school.
That happened.
Yeah. So I don't have to get up anymore. I can like get up and take my time and I'm not at the whim of a 16-year-old who's just trying to figure it out.
All right. Well, congratulations.
Anyway, hi, Beth Goss. Welcome to the podcast.
He has trouble with the T's sometimes.
Thank you for having me.
We were talking a little bit earlier about whether or not we'd met before, and we probably have because I've been around forever. But what I was going to tell you is I met Joni Parthamer, who I think is your teaching partner, during my first birthing class, which was 22 years ago.
No way.
Yeah. My oldest daughter's going to turn 20 here pretty soon. So it was a little about 20 years ago. And she blew my mind because it was kind of pre-internet sort of. I mean, it was like 20 years ago. Oh, yeah. It was like nobody could Google anything. And she said this in class. I'll never forget it. She goes, put your hand in this bag of ice. like this is what, like, this is what a contraction is going to be like. And then
really?
She said something like, yeah, she's like, this is the pain. And I was like, okay, that's not too bad. And then what? She goes, your wife's going to have hundreds of these. And I was like, I raised my hand. I said, did you say hundreds like of contractions? And because I really thought, I was like, oh yeah, I've seen TV. They have this. This is like a, you know, half hour,
it's like 10 minutes. Contractions.
Yeah, 10 contractions, push, right. push. You're all set. So,
wow.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Sure that we have crossed paths. I was in the very first, bringing baby home training cohort. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And I think I was in the second.
There you go.
Holy moly.
So,
yeah,
I never taught it even once. So I'm glad you're here, but I at least, know what it was when they first created it. So I'm glad. Thank you for coming.
How did you, okay. So I guess let's just sort of jump to the chase here.
Sure.
So for our listeners, we are speaking with Beth Goss. Today, we're going to be talking about the impact of babies on a relationship. What do we know? How can we support you? It's a complaint that we get a lot. I was just telling Beth, like, I feel like I have sort of this, like, maybe these taglines that I keep getting from my males and the taglines that I'm getting from my females. And it's kind of like the same complaints over and over. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, actually, Zach, you said we need to talk about relationships and babies and the impact and the whole thing. And I said,
yeah, transition to parenthood is what I call it.
Okay. Transition to parenthood. I said, we have to get Beth, because Beth and I work together at the Gottman Institute. We all have worked at the Gottman Institute. Mm-hmm. And you have been teaching this for years and years and years. And I thought there is nobody better to do that. So we're going to pass it on over, but I do want to hear a little bit, like, Beth, what is your, when people say, what do you do?
What's your jam?
What's your jam?
Right.
What do you do?
It's an elevator speech.
Yeah. What's your elevator pitch? But we also like the personal side of it, not just what you do to make money.
Okay. So not just my resume.
Not just your resume. Because we're human beings.
I think the resume is usually the most boring thing about people.
It is.
Right.
100%.
All right. I'll get that out of the way first.
Okay. Good.
So, full time, I'm over at North Seattle College and I'm a parent education instructor. And so I work
with. That's right near my office.
Oh, yeah. Well, cool.
Yeah, we should go for a walk sometime.
You can meditate side by side.
There's now the bridge is there.
The bridge. And that that Frisbee golf course. Have you ever been there?
I have not.
That is I know where it is. Really fun. We should do that. Okay.
Cool. Anyway. Well, yeah. When I'm not walking around campus, I'm in lab school and we have them all over, like on campus, but also in the community. And I work with the cooperative preschool program there. And so I do parent education with parents kind of live on the ground as conflicts are happening in the sandbox. And I'm a childbirth educator, which Joni and I used to teach in neighboring rooms way back then, 20 years ago, more probably. And then I'm also a certified Gottman educator and training specialist with the Bring Baby Home program. And let's see about me.
Wait. What's lab school?
Thank you.
Okay.
I was wondering the same thing.
Okay. Lab school is just, you know, when you take a, take a class in college, sometimes there's a lab involved.
Sure.
Okay. So this would be the lab portion of the class for the parents. The parents are my, my students and the kids are the classroom teacher's students. So it's basically, it's preschool and the parents come with their kids once a week. As the kids get older, they attend, you know, several times a week and the parents only come once and the parents are learning how to be assistant teachers and work with other people's kids and their own kids.
Oh, that's cool.
It is, it's a really cool program.
Like they're literally training for jobs. They're not just training to like be like
be parents.
Their own parenting skill thing.
Well, like yes and no, right? So I think most of the folks in that program are not training to be like early childhood educators. We have a program for that as well. It's really parents who are coming in and saying, I want support. I don't want to have to reinvent the wheel. And so I want, you know, other people around me who are going through the same thing. I want research-backed information from a professional so that I can kind of go in the right direction and take all the things from my childhood that I liked and then add some new things that might work better.
Holy
moly.
That's
what happens in the lab school.
So basically you know what you're talking about.
I'm trying, man.
Okay. I do want to, I want to jump off on that, but I also want to hear a couple tidbits of what you do. I have the question in my mind. I'm not going to hold it.
Okay.
What do you do for fun? What's the passion?
For fun. Okay. I've got lots of things going on. And I will say, Zach, my kids are older as well. I've got a 27-year-old, soon to be 28, and a 24-year-old. And so, yeah, I all of a sudden have some time again. Weirdly, that gets filled in by work mostly. But for fun, I love to like be outside, kayak, hike, you know, that Pacific Northwest stuff that we do here. But I also, I like art. And so I currently, my jam is making stained glass windows.
Oh, okay.
That's
I did
so
not
cool.
see that coming.
Right? I like to bring in a surprise.
That's awesome. Okay.
What is that? Wait, what does that mean? Sorry.
Most interesting person in the room.
Do you, how do you make a stained glass window? In like 30 words or less.
Right. I'm like, is this what the podcast is
about? Yeah, right. We'll get there.
And interestingly enough, I learned a lot about making stained glass from Lisa Tankersley, who is another childbirth educator and Gottman educator and training specialist. Okay. It's all like connected.
Yeah. Like stained glass.
Yeah. You cut the glass, you make the pattern, you cut the glass, you grind the glass down. And make it all even. And then I do the Tiffany method. So I take copper tape and surround all the pieces of glass with copper tape, fit that in, solder it together, and make a window.
Hold on. That's but so when do cool. you paint it? Do you paint it when it's in pieces or do you paint it after?
I don't paint it. It's all different colors of glass.
So yeah, when you cut the glass, you cut red glass, you cut purple glass, you cut blue glass. Yeah, gotcha.
Right. And you cut it all to make the picture.
Okay. All right. I'm glad I asked that question. Okay. Yeah. Now let's talk about real stuff. The reason why we brought your big, big brain onto the podcast is, okay, You were saying that you have these, first of all, I think this is genius because so many parents are sort of flying, you know, what is the terminology? Like by off the seat of their pants
by or whatever.
By the seat of their pants. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's a quality that my husband finds endearing, by the way, that I don't know my
You mix your metaphors.
Yes. Thank you. Do parents, if they are co-parenting, come together? Because I can already see how if one parent is showing up for the class and getting all this great education and the other parent is at home and says, I don't have time for it. Now, all of a sudden, there's like this imbalance, this hierarchy that's occurring where they're like, well, I was in class and I learned this from Beth and Beth said, this is how we should be doing it. And now you have an expert parent in the household and the whole hierarchy is thrown off. What the heck? Okay. Do you see that? Is it a requirement?
Oh, totally. Okay. Totally. So it's not, if there are two parents in the household or more, it's not a requirement that everybody comes.
Right.
So we need one adult to register with the college and be involved in that, in like the education portion of it. But I encourage partners to join. And so sometimes that looks like partners being the ones to come to class, you know, once a month or once every few months and be with their child in the classroom and sit in on the discussion. Cause I also with the youngers, the infants and toddlers, I also do an in-class like facilitated parenting discussion with a small group of them.
Yeah.
And then once a month in the evening, I also do like a parent education class. And so that's the time that they can come without their kids.
Cool.
And I encourage them, if they're able to, you know, find a babysitter, come do parent ed, and then don't go right home.
Yeah.
Go
have a
out
date.
And chat and have a date. Exactly. So back to the power dynamic. Yes, I definitely see that because most couples aren't able to do that, which is reasonable.
Yeah.
And so you do, you wind up with one. And I find regardless of the class, this is often how parenting couples work, right? One is the one who's like Googling things and reading the books and asking all the questions. And the other one's like, just tell me what to do. And I'll do it or not do it. Right. So, but that does create an imbalance because then you've created this like expert in the house, quote unquote. And then the person who doesn't know what they're doing, which is not the dynamic that we're looking for, which is why I encourage both of them to come. But we have ways of like talking to partners, right? Because some partners aren't interested, but some partners are. Yeah. And we talk, sometimes it works to just say, well, Beth said in class today, because what I do know is that, even though this is my job, when my kids were younger, when I would come home and share some information with my husband about like, maybe we should try X or that, he was not super receptive to that all of the time. Right. It's, because I'm his partner and I'm telling him, whereas if like a friend said they tried such and such, that might be more open, right? So like, I'm not third person outside the relationship. And that can work well sometimes.
Let's talk about that real briefly, because when I talk to couples about contempt, and I always describe contempt as I'm better than you, right? So, and that can come from lots of places. Can come from the patriarchy and I'm a man. And so I've got all these privileges and so I'm above you. It can come from, I make more money than you. It can come from, I have a better family than you. But then she gets pregnant and she gets all these resources and all this information and all of this like support. And all of a sudden I'm better than you because I'm the mom. I'm the most educated in this setting. Like, how do you protect them from that? Because we definitely want them to have information and we definitely want them to have support, but not in a way that you can sort of wield it like a club or wield it like power. Like, how do you?
Right. So yes, often the way that question comes to me in class is kind of later in the year. I talk about like the mental load of parenting. I have a variety of topics that we go over. Right. And so inevitably there's often a mom, although not always, who will say like, I have to do everything. He doesn't even know like when the kid needs a doctor appointment or where the doctor is or how to pack the diaper bag.
Or how to swaddle. So or, you know.
Right. So that like that opens up the conversation.
That was what I was bad at. No, it's like
it's
this.
Okay. Like, okay. Not every baby likes to be swaddled. But yeah, so the conversation will kind of come up organically like that. And then that gives me an opportunity to talk about the power dynamic. And so women, and I'm making a generalization there, but for the parent who is home with the baby most of the time, they're home with the baby most of the time, right? Mm-hmm. So they have all of this time to make mistakes, mm-hmm. and nobody's watching. Mm. And they learn all the stuff that doesn't work. And then they finally learn some of the stuff that does work. And then they're like, that's how you do it. Mm-hmm. That's how this kid goes to bed. This is what you do when they're upset. Oh, man. And so it takes all these mistakes to figure it out, mm-hmm. right? Then you have the other parent who doesn't spend that amount of time with the child, but they're home. They see them maybe in the evenings when people are not at their best, mm-hmm. or, you know, everyone's kind of had it with the day. And then they've got the baby and the baby starts crying. And then the mom potentially says something like, oh no, do this, or oh, watch the baby's head, which then makes the partner feel incompetent, and nobody likes to feel incompetent. Yes. So then the natural response is, well, I think she wants you. Mm. Mm-hmm. And so it's this pattern that happens. So what I encourage stay-at-home parents to do, or like the primary parent, mm-hmm. I call it, the parent who's spending more time with the baby, is take some time to do your own thing, which is good for your mental health, mm. anyway. And I encourage them, and this is pre-COVID, of course, right? And we're kind of coming back into it, but like, sign up for a class, do something where every Tuesday evening, I can't be home. Like, when you're ready to do that, mm-hmm. because that gives you some time away and it gives your partner this opportunity to spend some real time, mm-hmm. with the baby, mm-hmm. with the kids, and make mistakes while nobody's watching, because mm-hmm. you got to do that. And then figure out what works for them. Yeah. And what works for you doesn't necessarily work for them. And how awesome is it when your partner says, I figured out that if I bounce the baby this way on my chest, mm-hmm. she falls asleep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you never even thought about that. Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, I work a lot around that power dynamic, yeah. and how there isn't one parent in charge. And also, it's not that one parent's in charge and the other one's helping, right? Mm-hmm. Or can you watch the baby while I go get my hair cut? Mm. That's
watch
not
the baby.
Not what we're looking
babysit.
For.
Exactly. Can you babysit our child? Parents.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're not a babysitter, you're a parent. Mm-hmm. And I also tell them, nobody's born knowing how to take care of a baby. Mm-hmm. There's nothing special about me having a uterus that meant that when I had a baby, I knew what to do with, mm-hmm. them. So nobody knows what to do. And you're learning together. And some of us have more time to practice.
Yeah. Wow. As you're talking, I'm thinking about even as kids get older, and there is now we have teenagers, and it's like, well, you know, like, mom just has a special connection with the kids and she knows how to talk to them. And so if there's ever an issue, it gets triangulated through mom or through dad or whatever, yes. it might be. But I really like how you're talking about, like, spend some time, have your own relationship, have those awkward conversations with the teenagers.
Exactly.
You know, don't just have all the information flow through one parent because they got it figured out, because, you know, they might have it figured out, but you also have the capacity to figure it out. I do find that you do need parents, primary parents, to step away to allow that relationship, yes. to develop, right? Like,
go slow to go fast.
Oh, I like that. This holiday season, I'll be giving thanks to our friends over at Manscaped. Everybody loves turkey and stuffing, but guess what? My husband's going to be looking like dessert with the help of Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. The leaders in below-the-waist grooming have blessed you with the ultimate Thanksgiving dinner topic. Why not tell your in-laws about the new cutting-edge ball trimmer and gift yourself or the man in your life the ultimate men's hygiene bundle? Trim your pumpkins by going to manscaped.com and use code MTR for free shipping and 20% off. I'm a huge fan of their bundle, but if you're not willing to go all the way, you can take a look at their lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. It features a cutting edge ceramic blade that reduces grooming accidents. Phew! Thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn on 4,000 watt LED spotlight on and off so that you can see what you're doing. Plus, it's waterproof. Oh, love it. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code MTR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code MTR and be thankful this holiday season for the best gift of all from Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
This episode of Marriage Therapy Radio is brought to you by Fabric. I had surgery this week. I don't know if we talked about that on the podcast, but when I was checking in, they said, do you have a living will or an estate plan? And I said, yep. And then I wondered about you. Do you have a living will or a life insurance policy yet? If not, then check out Fabric. Fabric by Gerber Life was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. Fabric's new lower prices mean significant savings over other providers with great quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. Life insurance can have a bad rap for being complicated, but Fabric makes it easy to apply with its seamless digital experience. It's all online and on your time. And if you need extra support, Fabric's team of licensed insurance agents can help answer questions along the way. It takes less than 10 minutes to apply, see your quote, and then personalize your quote to fit your family's needs. You could be offered coverage instantly with no health exam required. Fabric has partnered with Gerber Life, trusted by millions of families like yours for over 50 years. I'm really glad to have life insurance. I think you should too. Protect your family today with Fabric by Gerber Life. Apply today in just 10 minutes at meetfabric.com/MTR. That's meetfabric.com/MTR. meetfabric.com/MTR. Policies are issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. By the way, surgery went great. Still alive and kicking. Looking forward to seizing the rest of my days and hope you are too.
I was thinking about another dynamic that I see, or I guess complaint. You just hit on one of the complaints that I hear quite often, which is, kind of a primary parent that has it all figured out and serves as like the expert parent, mm-hmm. and this power imbalance that occurs. The second one that I'm hearing a lot is, I feel like I went from being number two to my partner to now I'm number four. Or I'm number five, yes. right? Like, I am so far down on the list of being important to my partner that I'm just like this person that lives in this house. Like, I am like, I'm a fixture, just like a chair in this house. You hear that as well?
Oh, yeah. I call it going from being soulmates to being roommates.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it is, right? Like, you get together and you are best friends and you love each other and you have fun when you do things together, and then you have a kid and a lot of that goes out the window. Mm. And it's more like, okay, I'll feed the baby, you go get the ingredients for dinner, or I'm going to go walk the dog and you get the first laundry in. So like you become these roommates, right. who are just, like getting the business of the family going and keeping it afloat. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's not why you got together and decided to have a family. You're missing all the fun stuff, all the extra stuff. You're just doing the business piece. So that's why really investing in your relationship really early on is so important. Because if you can have that foundation, you know, we talk about the sound relationship house. If you can have the sound foundation for your kids, then you have that strong relationship together and you parent together, and happy parents, happy kids, kids can tell what's going on. So it's something that you kind of need to always be working on. Mm-hmm. Just because you have a baby doesn't mean like, well, we figured out the relationship part. Now we're going to figure out the parent part.
Sure.
Like, it's like, no, now we have to figure out how to parent together. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a lot of work.
And be in relationship together. Yeah.
And be in a relationship together, right? And still do the things that we used to do when we're ready. I know so many couples who kind of complain about this type of thing. And then I ask them, well, when's the last time they went out to dinner?
Yeah.
And they'll tell me, and then I'll say, but was that without the baby?
Right. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And they'll inevitably say, well, no. I mean, he was in the car seat. Mm-hmm. That's great. It's great to get out. But it's so great to go on a date without your children, even if you talk about your kids the whole time. At least you're kind of sitting there and like remembering why you liked each other in the first place, right? You need those little infusions to bring it back to the family to do the laundry and do all the mundane stuff.
Yeah. So I have this theory that I'm not going to reveal right now, but when couples come into my office and they're about to have a baby and they're like, what are we supposed to do? And I go, there's three things. This is the three things that you ought to do. I think you just said number one. Number one is you have to protect the friendship. Like the friendship that you built before you were, we had children, that was so easy to do, the date nights, all that stuff. You have to figure out how to, maintain that, whether that's date night and going to out without the baby or just finding things, finding ways to continue to remind one another. Oh, we actually like each other. Like, yeah, we're tired and we're stressed and we love this new creature who wants all of our attention, but we have to protect the friendship. So, so far I'm one for one. What else are your couples supposed to do to sort of get ready or be ready to add a baby to their environment?
Oh, you're comparing your list of three.
Yeah. My theory in my head, I just want to see if you can, I want to see if you can get the other two.
Okay.
Let's see if we match.
Let's see if you're right. Okay. Yeah.
Second thing, is managing conflict, right? Okay. Because all couples have conflict, like we all do. That the goal isn't to not have any, it's just how to manage it. So spending some time figuring out, okay, when we inevitably run into areas of conflict, problems that we can solve, how do we handle that? So like we both feel okay afterwards, right? It's not that one person wins and one person loses. So it's getting those skills and getting the practice in how to navigate conflict as it comes up, because it's going to come up a lot once that baby comes, right? And then I think the third thing is to keep talking about the future. So it's easy to get stuck, especially with a newborn, in like, oh my gosh, this is my life now. And I've lost my identity as a human, as a woman, as a man. Like you just become like the people who serve this tiny little person, right? And you go from I was somebody's daughter to I'm somebody's mom, which is like a mind-blowing transition, right? So you can get really wrapped up in that. And I think it's really important for couples to, once they get the hang of that a little bit, start planning for the future. And thinking about, what do we want our family to be like? Like, what's important to us? What are some things from your family or my family that we want to bring in? What are some new things that we want to do? Do we, you know, what kind of vacations do we want to take if we do that kind of thing? Like, what, how do we create like this, you know, family culture for our kids, so that when they grow up, they want those things for their own families? Those are my three, Zach. Yeah. What are your three?
Well, I think we're aligned on number three. Number three is what I usually tell couples. They have to remember that they're playing a long game. And I think that's the same, you know, and that parenting is not a thing, because parenting an infant, the job of parenting is keep that baby alive. Parenting a teenager, you don't have to worry about keeping the baby alive necessarily. Like, you have to worry about something else, like responsibility, or don't, you know, make sure you know how to pump gas or whatever it is, but you're playing a long game, including really understanding this transition to adding a new piece of identity, this thing called, I am now a dad. I am now a mom.
Like,
so I think we're spot on there, and number two, there's no problem with managing conflict, but this is the other thing that I want you to talk about. Because I always say you have to appreciate that all of a sudden, all of the physiology has changed. That happens around sex, but mostly it happens around sleep. And what do you do with, you know, Beth, my 20-year-old did not sleep through the night for 5 years.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's why Zach looks the way that he does now.
That's why see these bags right here? That is because
those are 5 years sleeping.
But so we actually had to go through a point where we were sleeping by week. So like Rebecca would sleep for a week and I would get up with her, like 3-year-old, 4-year-old, and then, but there was only one zombie in the house. But okay, so forget the 5 year part. How do you prepare, help, train, set up couples to understand, or people to understand, that everything they learned about their body and their biorhythm and everything else is now going to be subject to an invasion that is not going to obey the rules that they've already established?
Yes. So I think the first thing is there's no way to explain that.
Great. Right? And scene. Because, thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio.
Let me elaborate. There's no way to prepare parents for parenthood, right? Like, I've been a childbirth educator and a newborn care educator and a breastfeeding educator and a bring baby home educator for many, many, many years. And inevitably what happens is I do all my teaching and then I see the folks later and they'll say something like, you really should have talked about X.
Yeah.
And in my brain, I'm like, well, you know, we kind of
covered that. Dumb.
Because you can only hear so much before you have kids. You can't conceptualize it. You just can't. You have to live it. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Right. Yeah. But I do a lot of work with especially my infant and toddler families on sleep. In fact, I just wrapped up 2 weeks of discussions in my infant and toddler classes on sleep. Mm-hmm. And it's always the first, well, I guess second topic I do after introductions for co-op preschool, because it's such a big deal. Mm-hmm. One thing I talk about with sleep for them is, what do you want sleep to look like in your house? Because independent sleep is a really American value. And a lot of the world is not that, a lot of the world doesn't have sleep issues because they're all in the same room or in the same bed. And there's, you know, safety issues and variations on how you can do that. But I think we create some of the issues by wanting our kids to be so independent. That's a real American value that we have, which is fine, but it's not a universally held value, right? Yeah. So because so many of us have that value, we're working on this project, and the project is getting the child to be able to self-soothe and sleep through the night by themselves. Right. Right. So I let parents know you don't have to do that. It's whatever works for your family. Mm-hmm. So if everyone's getting really good sleep because you're all in the same room,
there's nothing wrong with
that's
that.
That's cool. Yeah. If you really can't sleep, if your child's in the same room as you, then that's a problem. And you need to think about how to, you know, graduate towards having your child in another room. And so it's another instance of sitting down and talking with your partner about, like, well, what are our values around this?
Yeah.
What do we want? Mm. You know, if you don't care if the toddler's in bed with us and I don't care, well, let's just all sleep together. Mm. And then we could all sleep.
My husband was, he sent me a picture. We already have a giant bed, but in our bed, we have a 7-year-old most often, right? Like, he ends up in our bed at some point in the night.
Yeah.
We also have my giant dog that I have shown you, and we have a new dog that's coming. So we now have five bodies, lumps in the bed. But he sent me a picture of, it's like a European style bed, which is low to the ground, and it's like a double king. And he said, we should have started this way. And I couldn't agree more. I mean, we live as a family where we just all kind of sleep in the same room.
Yeah. Right. Wow. And people are afraid to talk about it. Like, they don't want to bring it up. They're going to be judged. And so I really like to get it out of the way.
Right.
Like, whatever works, you know, I mean, you want the baby to be safe. Certainly. And we talk about what that looks like, but
yeah, I think that's really helpful to hear about, because one of our flaws, particularly early on, was that we read some book and we decided that was the way that we had to sleep train. And so we stuck to the book, and the book didn't work for my kid. It turns out, No, there were lots of books that didn't work for my kid, but
maybe it was the parent, not the
book. Maybe
just but, saying.
But I think that, you know, for me, it comes down to this idea of protecting the fact that your body has to function. You have to, you have to eat and sleep and breathe and go to the bathroom and exercise, because you can't just submit to the whim of the, you know, the baby or the book. So I like this idea of, like, maybe you gotta sleuth it out a little bit and figure out kind of what works. I mean, I don't recommend universally that people take turns by week, but that was the thing that got us through a particular kind of phase. Yeah.
Yeah. Take all the books with a grain of salt. Yeah. You know, there's some I like and some I don't. And most of it's parts that I like.
Well, that's where contempt comes from too, is I read this book and this book is right. So I am right.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Right. And I ask parents too, like moving from the sleep to just the physiology in general is when they're really having a rough time, of course, I'm asking them about sleep, but I'm also asking things like, are you eating meals? Yeah. Like, are you eating something beyond the crust of what your kid right. left for lunch? Right. Like
the mom diet,
are you making some right. Are you making lunch for yourself? Mm-hmm. Do you ever get out of the house by yourself? Like just really basic
yeah.
body and brain need things. Mm-hmm. You have to deal with that before you can deal with like the higher Maslow's hierarchy stuff. Right. So yeah. you got to like be okay before you can do the pie in the sky. This is what I want my life mm-hmm. to be, you know? So yeah.
It is kind of weird how, you know, you spend your time trying to reach the top of the pyramid, right? Of Maslow's hierarchy. And when you have a baby, immediately you're like, you crash down, right. you fell off the cliff. And now you're at the right. very bottom and you're like, okay, today my only goal is to get water, stay warm, keep clothes on my body. Cause like as a mom, you're constantly yep. like topless. Keep some clothes on my body, stay warm, put some food in me and sleep. Like, but I'm just right back to yeah. the bottom barrel.
Right.
For, just for like, a while. For a little while.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're scaring everybody.
Because you're playing
off.
The long game.
It gets better. It gets better. Yeah. You are playing the long game and you're playing. I talk about that a lot too, Zach. You're playing a long game with your kids in relationship, right? You're not yeah. working on building a relationship when they're a teenager. You're looking on building a relationship when they're a baby.
Well, I'm still working on building a relationship when they're teenagers.
Well, sure. Yes. You can. It's something you continue to
yeah,
do.
Of course.
It's never done. But I think that parents don't think about like emotional health
yeah.
of kids and think about methods of parenting that, I don't know, encourage relationship and communication yeah. as opposed to this big power hierarchy. Right.
So, but when yeah. it comes to bringing baby home, the main thing I think you're saying is you kind of have to hold it with an open hand, not the baby. You don't hold the baby with an open hand, but you hold like sure. the whole transition with this sort of understanding that we have to be willing to learn and grow and pivot and learn from each other and grow and pivot. Because
yeah.
the unit really is going to survive the initial crisis. I think that's what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I feel cool. like we could just keep talking and talking and maybe we'll find time and we can have you come on and talk more.
Phase two or three. Or
yeah. No
tell
kidding.
Me how to not fire my children.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
But for today, yeah, Beth has to get back to work because she has 9 jobs and right now I just have 2. Yeah.
That's how I roll.
Thank you. Yeah. And where can people find you if they're in the Pacific Northwest, if they're, you know, just like mm-hmm. curious about knowing more about you or your resources, yeah. where do we send them?
Sure. It's BethGoss.com. BethGoss.com. Yeah. I do parent coaching also. Let's throw another job.
Do you do it virtual?
Yeah.
What a resource. Mm. Oh my gosh. Okay, guys, you heard it. BethGoss.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
You are so welcome.
It's awesome.
Laura, you got to say the thing.
Oh, we got to land this plane. That's my tagline.
Sorry, that's what we say at the end. So anyway.
All right. Thank you, Beth.
Thanks, Beth.
Sure.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. I was so excited to have Beth Goss. Obviously, she is a very busy woman and deeply entrenched in the world of becoming new parents, bringing baby home, being a parent educator. You couldn't find a more educated and kind and just like worldly woman. So please, if you're interested, check out Beth Goss. Beth, B-E-T-H, Goss is G-O-S-S.com. She works virtually with parents to get you on your path, get you through that, you know, that moment in time. Thanks for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.